Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who this season we continue to celebrate, died and rose again and is risen, and now we celebrate his ascension, and we wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit celebrated on the 50th day of Easter, Pentecost. So we are rather in the in-between times between ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our text for this context is Jesus' statement, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The first letter of the Greek alphabet, Alpha, Omega being the last one. And Jesus says, I am both. It starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus, it's all about Jesus. All the way. You could say that he might be in the middle, but that would be doing math and making him an average. But that's not what it's about. It's all about Jesus. Every ending is the beginning of something, and every beginning is the end of something. You know that from your life experience, don't you? Consider, it's all about Jesus. Now, we may think in terms of in-betweens, but beginnings and ends are just ways of putting a frame around the process of moving from one to the other. So, this is in-between Sunday, I declare. Actually, it really is easy to see it. The texts are there. First of all, the disciples get the command from Jesus at his ascension as he goes up. Make disciples of every nation, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. And go to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit. Okay, wait, in between. So what are we going to do while we wait? What has the Lord told us to do? Well, you know, there's business to be done. We have a missing person. Without Judas, to complete the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. So they got to business, and they decided to pray and consider two candidates, ask the Holy Spirit to direct them, and they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So Matthias was part of the process of stepping forward in faith in the in-between times. God always does that. He restores what is missing, and he asks us to take steps of faith and go forward, to wait for the Holy Spirit. Not to settle for the past. The past is grand and glorious, and God has been faithful, but he asks us to go forward by faith, step by step, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to the next great thing that he's about to show us and do. Don't stay stuck. Don't dwell on the loss, but go ahead. In the second reading, and John, you were right to give it context, the holy city is being described, and we are invited to focus on what's coming. The holy city, what it's like in terms of its completion of God's glory and plan. Part of it's metaphorical, perhaps, but it is not, it's completely true in terms of what the picture is going to be like. We are invited to see what is coming down the line, because it is coming. And behold, I come soon, Jesus says. He wants us, as we hear in the third gospel reading, he wants us to experience the fullness of God's glory as we wait, as we faithfully anticipate what's next, what God has planned. So all three readings for today show us the in-between, between the beginning and the end. Today is in-between Sunday in another sense, too. Pastor D is already here. Pastor D has already been installed. But next Sunday is his first Sunday with us. We're in between. Oddly enough, it's official, but next Sunday. Now, in between. So we're at the tail end of the Easter season, 50 days of celebrating Jesus' resurrection as if we didn't do it every day, but for a special time during this season. And that Easter message is always about new possibilities, the next great thing that God is going to unfold before us in terms of his plan. In Easter, we see the power and the promise of moving forward. New ideas, new life, new hope. Do you want some of that? Sure. And do we not have it as a gift already? So we're invited to let go of the past, honor it, treasure it, what God has done, but don't hang on to it and don't cling to it. Is Redeemer by the Sea ready to do that? While we say we are, we don't always show it. Speaking of myself, 7 last words of the church. You've heard of them probably. We've never done it that way before. Honestly, as I recall, in January of 2010, when I was here for about 15 months as an in-betweener before Pastor Augie came, Redeemer by the Sea was of 2 minds at that time. Number one mind was, let's go back to the way things used to be. And the other one was, anything but the way the things have been here before. Woo! How exciting to see how God was going to work that out. Yeah, that's exciting to see how God deals with us that way. So we focus on the future as we wait for the Spirit. And if we focus on the future, we're going to need to make sure it's the future that God is calling us to, not the one that we think is the right one. What is it that God is calling us to? So we wait for spiritually discerned goals. And that means waiting for God's Spirit to direct the course, the path. Now, as you and Pastor D begin to pray and work together and talk together and focus on the future, and the invitation is, oddly enough, paradoxically, to wait or listen to the Holy Spirit on the way. I trust you're willing to do that, eh? Yeah. I guess I'm beginning to feel a little bit like a marriage counselor here, a wedding officiant, you know, who's done the premarital counseling, and he says to the couple, now you trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Right. Well, it takes 2 to make a marriage work, have you noticed? Yeah. So it takes both pastor and people committed together to the Lord, working together, committed for the sake of the purpose that they've been called for. So here's the spiritual principle for the day. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. That's a simple message. Whether it's as an individual and you're about to start something new, a new project, a new business, a new job, a new grade in school, whatever it is, or whether you're a family and you're about to start a vacation period or a new chapter because you've moved to a different area, or you are a congregation starting to begin a new chapter of ministry. We begin with the end in mind. Our purpose starts and stops in Jesus only. All our activities, our starting and our stopping, find their purpose finally and their meaning in him who loves us. Let's consider briefly 3 parts of our life journey outline. First of all, our new birth in baptism. Is it not in baptism both a beginning and an end? It's the beginning of God's anointing with the Holy Spirit through water and the word of promise. But it's a drowning of the old man. It's an end of some former claim that Satan would have on us. So we renounce the devil and all his empty promises, and we take a step forward in faith as the gift of God's grace is received. Baptism is a beginning and an end. Marriage, well, certainly we've only just begun, but what ends? My singleness, my aloneness, my apartness, my unto myselfness, all of that ends as the new beginning in marriage goes forward. In the what we call death, biological ceasing to live here, there is a beginning and an end. The end is easy to focus on because we don't have that flesh and human touch and all of that that is so part of God's gift to us in that other. We let go of that with difficulty. But the new beginning is splendid for those who have died in the Lord. It's a beginning like no other. It's the fulfillment of what was promised in baptism, come full circle. And the phrase that we often use from the Word of God for both baptisms and funerals and marriages is, bless your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Ever heard of that one? Some of us gray hairs have done that. Heard it many times. You're going out and you're coming in. Letting go and grabbing hold. Each stage in life's journey requires us to consider the end purpose. Why are we going there? What are we doing? When I was a kid on the farm in central Illinois, I learned a lot about God at the same time. Sunday school and church every Sunday, of course, but then what happened during the week was just as important to reinforce those lessons. I learned that you prepare, you plant, you cultivate, you harvest according to the season. And every beginning is the end of something prior, and every ending is the beginning of something new. The goal is the harvest, but you look ahead to the next crop, and you begin with the goal in mind. So it is also for those who raise children. How many of you, raise your hand if you've ever raised a child or are in the process. God bless you. It is quite a responsibility, isn't it? And so as we train our children, we train them not only to think about the next best thing and rejoice in that, such as getting promoted to third grade, or getting a time with a friend on a weekend, or getting a favorite dessert prepared for us, or being able to watch a very important, exciting chapter in the next adventure series on TV or computer. Those next best things. We live from one moment to the next, from one day to the next, to the weekend, to the vacation, to so forth. We teach them not to look just one step ahead, but to begin with the end in mind. What is the purpose that we have for living on this earth? How do we teach a little one, like one of those elementary students in Texas, mercilessly gunned down? How do we begin as parents to teach our children that the end that God has in mind is to love us most fully and to lead us through this life's adventure with his arms around us at every moment, the good times and the not so good? How do we do that? We do it by modeling our own faith, first of all, to them. And we give them the examples of God's saints in the scripture, the stories of the Bible, that helped us to see where God's hand was at work at that time. We teach them to reach, to see the end goal and to begin with the end in mind. Not just what's next, but where are we going and why are we doing it? So here's the memory verse for today. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. One of my favorites. So I live my life in response to what God has done to me, for me, in me, and through me. And I live with benefit to myself because he loves me, and that's a great benefit. But it also redounds to the lives of others in my family and in my church family. God's purpose was always to love us from the very beginning. And to show that love, he sent Jesus so that we could see it in the flesh. And now he sends the Holy Spirit to make us able and capable of rejoicing and receiving it more and more as we go through life. Our purpose then is to live life in response to that. That's our end. Why? Well, one of the ways that Paul helps his readers to, Apostle Paul helps the readers to understand the purpose is comparing life to like a race of an athlete. He says, I do this in order that I run the race in order that I may obtain the prize. Now, the prize is not an earned reward, but it's the result of running the race in the analogy Paul gives us. To reach the end, which is really just the real beginning, remember, is the purpose. And if our hope is in Christ is only for just this world, we are among all people the most to be pitied and most sorrowful. But in fact, Christ is raised from the dead, and the victory is won. And we can see that victory already achieved. That's the end goal. I didn't do it, but he did it, and he invites me to share in it. That's such a deal. I didn't do it, he did it, and he invites me freely to share in the result. We can see that victory already achieved. Who would want to watch a sports contest where the outcome was already known? That's not the nature of the drama of sports. But in this case, we know what the end is. We know the victory is won. And now we get to play the game with a different attitude and a different power and a different spirit, and we enjoy the ride through the whole adventure of life because we know where it's going to end. To me, that is so very important. Life is not really a game, even though it has its ups and downs, doesn't it? It has its forks in the road, for sure. But it's an adventure of infinite Easter possibilities. And there's no end to eternal life. It's a story, it's a drama, but Easter goes on and on and on. And it all centers in Jesus, who is the beginning and the end, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who is the destination and the start. It starts in him and it ends in him because of his love to us that won't end. Now that's the sermon. And it's at this point that I always ask myself, so what? You know, what difference is it going to make for me? What difference is it going to make for you? Well, new beginnings are provided, given, offered to you this day, to me this day. And we're invited to wait for it. I could go off on that word, wait for it, but we won't. We are invited to wait for the Holy Spirit. It's provided, and we are yet invited to wait for it. We're invited to expect it, to receive it as a promise, and to go for it, and then to respond to it with a praise God, an alleluia, as we prepare our hearts and minds to be ready for the full celebration of God's victory now and then. We're led to praise God with all that we do and we say as God's children. We're invited to do that as families in this community and as a church family by the sea, dedicated to the end purpose of God, our Easter Redeemer. God bless you abundantly in this new beginning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.